What a week it's been in climate policy. On Monday, the opposition put forward its modelling on a baseline and credit system, which has become, it seems, the surrogate opposition policy. Yesterday, the government took its CPRS legislation to the Senate and had it voted down. And today, in the biggest development of all, well, if you'll just bear with me for an hour or two anyway, we have CETA launching its own report on this issue, which is all about climate policy, and it's all about taxing debate and what happens to policy in the post-Copenhagen period. The report, which you, all of which you've got a copy of, is on your seats there, is a substantial volume. The project itself we put began in January on this project, and it is a serious attempt to try to address the difficulties of climate change policy. Just so happens to be this week that there's been so much on it. Timing, I suppose, is everything, but for us this is not just an opportunistic entry into the debate. Part one of the report tackles the difficult climate policy issues and specifically explores carbon tax versus CPRS, or in fact broader than the CPRS, the emissions trading schemes in general as a policy mechanism. Part two looks at what will happen at Copenhagen, and we have some perspectives in there that you'll note from some of the key countries, the United States, China, India, Australia, and also Germany, on behalf of a European perspective. And the central proposition that part two is looking at is whether that whole approach that we have now to the Kyoto-style targets and timetables approach is really going to survive beyond the 2012 period for Kyoto. And I suppose, from a personal point of view, if this report can just be something of an antidote to the Do Something Brigade in this area, who seem to dominate discussions about climate policy, then I'll be well pleased. I don't know, for example, if you saw the ABC program last night, Q&A, where we continue to have these question and answers, this chorus of people just saying we should just get on with it. Well, get on with what? I mean, we really do, I think most people who are close to this area acknowledge that we do have to move and we have to introduce policy settings, but it's really what we do which is the key. And we have to understand the complexities of the problem that we're dealing with. It's not enough just to simply say that we should do something and get on with it. Today we're going to focus on part one of the report. Three authors from the report, Porter, Carmody and Sampson, will be addressing you today, together with three invited participants to stimulate some debate and policy challenges on emissions trading as the policy of choice in climate policy. And we'll be considering such questions as how emissions trading did become the preferred vehicle for policy prescriptions in this area. We know that emissions trading is a more politically acceptable approach because it hides the true cost to consumers. But have we examined closely enough the carbon tax option? A carbon tax is clearly not exactly a new idea, and it may not yet be an idea whose time has come. But today we want to examine it in the spirit of a potential policy plan B that might enter the field of play from the interchange bench once the injured ETS is carried off the field. And look, if you want some evidence that this area itself is very much a shifting field, I would suggest you look no further than page two of today's Australian, which contains a report out of the Wall Street Journal, which is from, and some comments from a Thomas Croker, who was regarded as the co-author of emissions trading schemes and the idea that emissions trading schemes could be the most appropriate policy setting in this area. And he says now, after having put together as part of his doctoral thesis in the 1960s the prescription for cap and trade, that he believes that he's sceptical that cap and trade is the most effective way to go about regulating carbon. In fact, he prefers now an outright tax on emissions because it would be easier to enforce and would provide needed flexibility to deal with the problem. Now, why does he say that? He essentially says that because of a couple of issues associated with the problem itself. First of all, is the fact that carbon emissions are a global problem with myriad sources, and that cap and trade is better suited, therefore, to discrete local issues rather than something which has the characteristics of dealing with CO2 emissions. And the second problem that he says is that quantifying the economic damage of climate change is fraught with uncertainty. So in that context, cap and trade is much better suited to problems where the damages are clear and a hard limit is needed very quickly. So all I say to you is I advance that as part of the proposition that this is an area which is an unfolding story and reasonable people can change their minds on what's the best way to approach this as an issue. Anyway, we'll be dealing with a lot with those sort of issues today. At this stage, I just wanted to go straight, therefore, into the proceedings. We're going to hear shortly from Dr. Michael Porter, who's CEDA's Research Director, who's going to provide CEDA's research policy perspective on this area. Secondly, I'm going to then invite presentations from Jeff Carmody, who's the former co-founder of Axis Economics and one of our report authors, as well as Brad Page. Where is Jeff? Jeff, you can come up here at any time. Thanks. And Brad Page, who's the Executive Director of the Electricity Supply Association, who is going to speak not on the CPS itself, but on the broader issue of the emissions trading schemes and why the Electricity Suppliers Association sees that ETS has several advantages. Then we'll have some time for questions before we break for lunch. Then we reconvene a panel under the chairmanship of Michael Porter after lunch, and we'll have five people up here together. We'll have our existing panellists here together with three more who will be having a discussion for about another hour. Plenty of opportunity for you to ask questions. I hope we have lots of debate and discussion on this issue today. Okay, I'm going to dispense with going through the bios for our speakers. They're all in the programs. We'll save some time because we have got a very full agenda today. Let me just make one final point, and that is I'd like to, as well as thanking you all for coming today, I'd like to thank all of the very generous contributors that we've had to our relatively new CEDA's relatively new research gift fund. This is a very important part of our research agenda. We really value people's support, and it does enable us to be able to put together and put forward research and policy ideas, and we do very much appreciate that support. Anyway, without any further ado, I'm going to now hand over to Michael Porter, who's going to give a CEDA research perspective on this issue. Michael.